In a world, four friends, one mission.
Mikey, what are you doing?
I'm doing the thing for the podcast.
It's not that hard, bud.
Dude, just say the name.
Fine. It's the Freedom Friends Podcast.
Yep. Oh, it's about time for us to sit in a circle and look at each other's sticks. Which circle means we're going to do one thing. Johnny?
We're about to masturbate.
Ooh, pay the bills.
Guys, it wouldn't be the Freedom Friends if we didn't talk about our number one sponsor, Warfighter Tobacco. Obviously, you guys have seen us all smoke them. We're here to talk about a quality product that everybody can enjoy. The great equalizer, as we've called it, the Warfighter Tobacco Stick. And it's not just cigars. They've got humidors, travel humidors, cutters, lighters, everything you need to get started on that journey. Check out warfightertobacco.com and use that code FTFO. Score yourself that sweet, sweet 15%. If you want to know my personal favorite, I'm a 762 Field guy. I like that Sumatra, real nice and even keeled cigar. Great for us beginner smokers, right? And I'm told that these taste even better when you're listening to the Freedom Friends Podcast. Now, back to the show. This episode is brought to you by Grill Your Ass Off. It's no secret. We're all middle-aged dudes who love barbecue. Grill Your Ass Off is our main go-to for our spices. That's what we use, man. Whether you're doing burgers on the grill, steaks, or my personal favorite, a little bit of pork belly burnt ends, right? They've got you covered on all of that. They also have salsas. They also have seasonings and spices. They got beer salts. They've got everything, man. Check them out. grillyourassoff.com/freedomfriendspodcast or use the code freedomfriendspodcast at checkout.
All righty.
Yep.
So we're going to discuss a mediocre topic. I'm not going to agree on shit.
Probably not.
And then decide that since we invented a problem, we solved it, that we're useful on the internet. In this week's Master Debate. What do you got for us?
All right, boys.
All right, boys.
So I want to know, what are some cars the manufacturers should bring back into their lineup?
Ooh. Like, if they did it right?
The Chevy Cavalier Z24.
Oh,
that's the only car I've ever totaled.
Everybody has a story about a Z24.
I had mine for 12 hours.
I never had one, but I have a million stories because of friends that had
I totaled it in less than 12 hours. It was a Christmas gift, and I totaled it in less than 12 hours.
I don't want to tell my story.
I'm just going to say that's fucking impressive.
Yeah, less than 12 hours, and I totaled it.
Nice.
I put it into the side of an F-250. T-boned an F-250 with it. I hit that F-250 so hard, it lifted it up off the road and set it in a lawn. Nice. Like, I hit the... And the old square body thing. Not the Illuma Duty shit.
Right. The Illuma Duty.
the old square body fuckers. I'm assuming, like, I go buy it and it's as awesome as people make them if I just bought it from the manufacturer, or just a platform as good as the original platform.
Or something that they discontinued making that it would be cool if they made today.
I have a couple. One, Pontiac 100, which
you're never getting your Firebird back, but just give it alone. Leave it alone. Yeah.
I think they need to bring back a Trans Am. But not only that, but imagine what a 2025 Pontiac Fiero would be if they continued that motherfucker.
The only way that they should bring the Fiero back
is if it's a big block swap.
Well, so the only people that pulled off that
you could do a V6 twin turbo now, that motherfucker would scream.
But the only mid-engine compact car they ever did that was worth a shit was the Toyota MR2.
Oh, I disagree.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't bad.
What other compact mid-engine car that they make that was good?
The Fiero.
Those literally burst into flames on their own.
Some of them were okay.
You know, the
1987 Ford Fiero GT was a decent car.
That car was so bad that companies literally made body kits to make them look like Ferraris.
It was so good.
You know, they do that with the Chrysler 300 nowadays to make it look like a Phantom.
Yeah, the baby Bentley.
They need to bring that back, the Buick Grand National.
Mm. Yes.
Nobody has the balls.
Yeah.
Nobody has the balls to do it.
That was it was a basic bitch car.
Nobody has the.
It was a Buick Regal with a fucking turbo V6.
No creature comforts. It had power windows. It had air conditioning.
Nobody has the balls to do it. So
fast as fuck.
Like the Grand National was a Monte Carlo.
No, it's a Buick Regal.
Right, but it was Monte Carlo.
Yeah.
With all the power. It was a twin turbo V6, all the power. It was a Monte Carlo that was actually fast.
It was it was faster than the Corvette.
Faster than everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
At the time, it was the fastest production car in the quarter mile. It was an 11.4 second quarter mile.
11.7, I
believe. 11.7, whatever. Like it was
either way, it's fast as fuck.
It was a sub 12 quarter mile. Yeah. Now, but here's the reason nobody has the balls to do it, because somebody's going to go in the comments and be like, Dodge made the Daemon. Okay. The Grand National was attainable.
Yeah.
It was.
It wasn't like it was crazy expensive.
So,
Justin,
can you find me the MSRP on a Grand National at release?
1987.
And then let's do the math on what that would actually be now.
I think they only made it for 1 year, 2 years.
It was 1 or 2 years.
It was 87, I think, is the only year I ever known of
it. So, because that's part of the GM F body.
Yeah.
If you have to look at the F body, we're talking the Camaro, the Monte Carlo, the El Camino,
Camaro,
the Grand National. Those are all the F bodies.
The Cutlass.
Those are all F bodies. Yeah. Those are all the F body cars. So
the Grand National had a base price of $16,600, which translates to about $38,700.
Okay, sure.
That's an entry level car.
That's $38,700. If some car manufacturer showed me, hey, we have the fastest quarter mile production car for less than $40,000, I trade in my car now.
Yeah.
All of us would. All of us would be down there going like, how do I sign up?
Yeah.
How do I get one of these in my driveway right fucking now?
Right.
For $38,000. Nope. You know what $38,000 gets you right now? A stripped Maverick.
Yes.
Like that's what it gets you. And I don't even mean the Lariat Maverick. No, I'm talking base model Maverick.
Our loaded up Mavericks were 38 to 40.
And you have a Maverick. Congratulations.
Not a Buick Grand National.
Congratulations. Yeah. You have a 0 to 60 and eventually truck. It's not a Grand National. That is the equivalent to the Demon for less than $40,000. And you didn't have to drive a Dodge.
Right.
So this is a win-win. But nobody has the balls to do it. And they could. They absolutely could manufacture this fucking car. They could, because all of these little $38,000 crossover fucking bullshit SUVs that exist now are twin turbo EcoBoost V6s.
So
that's what's pulling these cars around.
The Grand Nationals were on and off from, if you want to call it a Grand National, it was a Regal Sport Coupe turbo version in 78.
Nope. If it doesn't have that tricolor rainbow little fucking symbol on the back of it,
it's black
and that's it.
They didn't get the Grand National name, I think, until 82.
No.
Yep.
The Grand National didn't always have that twin turbo.
The Grand National debuted, which was named for the NASCAR Winston Cup Grand National Series in February 82.
What does a 1982 Grand National look like?
Like the rest of them.
Really?
Yep.
All black?
The F body started in...
No. So the original run was 100 units. They retrofitted 215 Regals with the Grand National package.
Okay.
This was first year. 82, they made way more than
in something. 82, the Grand National came naturally aspirated V6, blah, 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 blah.
That's not the Grand.
83, there was no Grand Nationals. The Sport Coupe Regal was renamed a T-Type.
Yeah.
And had 180 horsepower.
Right.
In 84, the Grand National returned all black.
Okay.
And that was a turbocharged, single turbo 3.8 liter.
Yep.
With 200 horsepower.
Right.
There were 5,204 made. Only 2,000 reached the Grand, which were Grand Nationals. 85, they were unchanged. 86, they modified the engine, 235 horsepower. 87 was the last year. That's when they released the GNX.
Okay.
Which was
Grand National GNX.
The Grand National Experimental, which was $29,900, $77,000 in 2022's dollars. And that one had 276 horsepower.
and it was still fast as fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, 200 how many horsepower?
276.
And ran a fucking under 12-minute quarter mile.
12-second.
12-second, yeah.
But yeah.
Definitely.
But nobody has the balls. There's some cars from that era. Well, look at the mid-90s. Look at the mid-90s and what Japan
brought. Yeah, dragster performance was measured as faster than the Ferrari F40 and the Porsche 930 with a quarter-mile time of 12.7 at 113.1.
Yeah, the GNX wasn't as fast as the original Grand National.
No, that was the fastest one they had.
12.7.
But the mid-90s, you look at Japan, the 300ZX.
Yeah.
The 300ZX twin turbo, I think, was 310 horsepower stock.
Because the 90s,
that's what it came with.
The 90s, you don't want.
You don't want that smoke.
Well, no, the Buick turned into the fucking.
Oh no!
That abomination of bullshit.
No, America gave up in the 90s. It completely belonged to Japan. So you have the Nissan 300ZX. You have the FD series RX-7. You've got the Supra, which is now a $200,000 car.
Right.
Which is crazy. Because I knew people that owned those.
Yeah. That's $200,000 car. But this is also the era of the 4.6 liter GT Mustang. Because in 90...
And everything looked like a bubble in the
90s. It 93 or 94 when they gave up on the Fox Buddy Mustang and introduced the new one?
I think it was 92 was the last year.
No, because 93 was the was the Terminator, the Mustang.
Okay.
No, yes. 93 was the bubble.
The 5 liter.
It was a 4.6 liter.
I think 90.
But it was the
92 or 93 was the last year of the Fox. You're thinking of the 03.
I'm thinking
of
03.
F-body Mustang. When did it?
F-body
93 is the last
Fox year. Body's the last year, and that was the last year of the 5.0. Mm-hmm.
And that was awesome.
That's the whale tail, the whole nine yards. Yeah. And the Cobra was all aluminum, and that was with bolt-ons. You were talking about a 500 horsepower Mustang. And then in that era, Japan took over. Like the 300ZX twin turbo,
yeah.
The FD, well, RX-7.
They went from displacement to fucking high rev,
yeah,
small turbo engines.
Well, Japan figured out that forced induction just made power, stable power.
Yeah, but I can run that V8 to 6,000 RPMs and it grenades, or I can run this fucking four-cylinder to 14,000 and it's just living a happy life.
Mm-hmm. And so... The problem is power no longer belongs to the car guys, and car guys don't buy cars. They buy old cars and they tune them. The new powerhouse cars are I'm never going to run this at its power level. I just want you to see that I have it.
It's a rich guy thing.
Yeah. It's just a status symbol thing. And so I don't know if anybody will ever do it because the car companies figured out I don't have to make a fast car for the masses. I have to make a fast car that a few people will buy.
The masses aren't interested in it anymore.
No.
But because you have like the Cadillac, like the CTS-V. It's a bad bitch.
I would love to have, and not even the coupe. I want the four-door.
Yeah, fuck yes.
The four-door CTS-V,
fuck.
Sub 5 second, 0 to 60, and I can still fit like all of my groceries and four people in it.
They sound mean as shit.
Yeah, yeah, they're so good. Now, there were some other ones from the V line that I hated. The Cadillac XLR-V. Mm-hmm. I hated that car.
I don't know.
It looks awful.
For its time, though, it was unique. Like, it was...
Sure.
I don't know.
Elephant Man was unique, too.
Two-seat roadster. I don't know. The XLR was okay.
I hated the body of it. But I can't stand the Camaro, the new Camaro. You can't see out of it. You ever sat in one of those fucking things? You can't see shit.
I do like it, but you can't see out of it.
It looks great parked. I just wouldn't want to drive it around. But we talked about the C8 off air. And I'm gonna tell you right now, if I had the option between like, hey, do you want to buy a ZR1 C8? Or do you want to buy this Ferrari?
Yeah.
I'm buying that fucking Corvette every time. It just looks better.
And I think the C8 gets a bad rep because it's like the poor man supercar, but I don't give a fuck because I'll put it up against the rich man supercar.
The poor man supercar is still 100 G's.
Oh yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
It's $100,000 poor man's car. Like I don't know if I argue.
But when you're hanging out with the Ferrari guys,
who cares?
Yeah, fuck them. Yeah.
Fuck off. Mine sounds better and it's faster. I got a call today. You'll appreciate this. I got a call today from the Harley dealer. I'm not going to say their name, but from the Harley dealership that I took my course at.
Yeah.
For my license. He's like, hey, we see it's been 400 and whatever days since you took your course and we haven't seen you buy a bike. Can, you know, are you interested in getting a bike? And I was like, I'm three in. Like, I don't even know what to do. I'm on my third bike. And like, oh, what would you ride? And I was like, I've got 120th Road Glide. And they're like, oh, well, where'd you get that? And I told them what dealership I got it from. And it wasn't them.
Yeah.
They're like, well, why would you do that? And I was like, they're $10,000 cheaper and 6 miles from my house.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, if you want to know where you're not moving units, stop. Stop fucking, stop overcharging this shit. Like, my dealer moves more new units than anybody in the state.
Yeah.
And then nobody can figure out why my dealership keeps getting new units. It's like, do you think Harley cares that you made an extra 10 grand on it?
No.
Or do you think they're going to keep allocating you bikes because you move them faster than anybody else does? So I can get the best there is for less than anybody else because I found a dealer that's not overcharging for the rarity of it. And it's like, I don't mind paying, but at least let me pay sticker. Like, what the fuck? But there's just not anything that wows me anymore.
Yeah.
Like, the car industry is so fucking boring. I don't give a fuck that there's a 50-inch screen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Our whole dash is an entertainment center.
Yeah, but I don't care.
Yeah, cool.
I don't fucking care. Are you telling me out of the billions of dollars that Ford produces, they can't make a car for the masses? Not even the masses, just the car people.
They don't even make cars anymore.
No, it's true.
Ford makes a Mustang. That's the only car available.
Well, so off the camera, we were looking at the new GTD, the GT grid car, because they're making all these new tiers of GT cars. It's a $300,000 Mustang.
It's a lot for a Mustang.
300 grand gets you into just about every supercar on the planet.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but if you spent that on a Mustang...
You know, fuck, you are 100% correct.
Yeah.
No. The only car they make...
It's a Mustang.
Is a Mustang.
Yeah, they don't make another car.
They announced that
Everything else is an SUV.
They announced it 2 years ago that they were no longer making cars. They only make SUVs and trucks. That's it. Hmm. And I'm like, so you made the...
What's another Chevy car they make besides the Camaro. Corvette and Camaro? I don't think they do.
Let me look.
And nobody wants a car anymore.
But a $300,000 Mustang? Mustang.
Yeah.
So you spend 300 grand. You're successful enough that you have $300,000 to spend on a car. And you bought a Mustang?
You came up with a mullet. You were 10 and you had a fucking mullet.
Yeah. It's like $300,000 on a Mustang. On a Mustang. I don't give a fuck how fast it is.
You had a mullet. You married an OnlyFans chick, and you bought that $300,000 Mustang.
Okay, what Chevy do they make that's a car? There's only one.
Camaro and
the Camaro and the Corvette.
No, those are technically considered performance.
It's
under
still a
cars.
The Spark, maybe
a Malibu.
Oh, okay, I didn't know they
Corvette, Camaro. Yeah, so three models of the Corvette, one model of the Camaro,
the Malibu, and SUVs.
And the electric vehicles are SUVs or a truck. That's it.
Well, and that's the whole thing. It's like $300,000 for a Mustang. Do you know who buys that? Jelly Roll. That's who buys that. That is.
He grew up with a mullet and married an OnlyFans chick. Right. That's what I just said.
Yeah. It's that's what that is. That is white trash with money.
That's what I just said. That's who buys a
$300,000 Mustang. It looks phenomenal. And you know what would have impressed
me? Were you just saying before we started recording that you want one of those?
Until it was 300 grand.
Yeah, at 80,000, that'd be awesome.
Have you ever had a mullet?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
In 91. In 91 when everybody had a mullet.
I didn't. I had a rat.
I did not.
See?
That was different than a mullet. Totally different.
But you know what I had on my wall in 91?
Not totally.
A poster of a Lambo. Yes. I didn't have a poster.
I probably had the same Mustang.
Yes, because we both bought them at the Scholastic Book Fair.
The fucking Countach was the shit. And then they came out with Diablo, and then after that, it went downhill.
I don't even know what they make now. I had a poster of a Lamborghini. I didn't have a poster of a fucking Mustang.
That's true.
So I can.
Justin, do you have a poster?
I had a picture of a chick with a nice ass, and there was some kind of car in the background that happened to be a Lamborghini, I believe.
I mean, and you totally bought the poster for the car.
So I could go buy. At that point, I could go buy. I threw
the dart at the fair. First head poster.
Because at that point, you're talking about I could go buy a Porsche like GT3 RS or GT4 RS. And have $100,000 left over, or I could buy a Mustang. Yeah. Like that's the math.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what kind of like. So I don't hear rich people talking about the.
If I had $300,000 to spend on a vehicle, so I've had this conversation with $100,000.
Yeah.
Right. If I had $100,000 to spend on a vehicle, like it's my toy. This isn't my daily driver. I'm not using it for work for. A specific reason, right? Because that Mustang, if you buy that $300,000 Mustang, that's not going to be your daily.
No.
You're not taking that thing cross country on road trips. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like because you're going to break it. It's just going to break.
It's not designed for
it. It's a track car.
So it's your toy, right? Let's tone it down. You have $100,000 to spend on a toy.
Right? I buy a Corvette?
No. I'm not buying a production. Like I guarantee you, I guarantee you for $100,000, I can build something very close to the Hunicorn twin turbo fucking
so $100,000
quote unquote Mustang that the only thing Mustang on it was that fucking A pillars.
So is that the question?
You know what I mean?
Is that the question? $100,000 you can build any vehicle you want to. It's the Model A pickup.
But I'm just saying, like if you're gonna spend $300,000 on a vehicle.
I'm not.
Like, if you're buying that Mustang, you're buying a Porsche or a Lambo or a Ferrari or whatever, you're buying it for a status symbol. You know what I mean? Because if you're a fucking car dude and you have that money to throw at something.
But $300,000, are you buying a Mustang for a status?
No, you're not.
And it's a catch 22 here.
And that's the thing is that because you're going to go like.
That Mustang, you are.
No, you're not.
Yeah you are.
No, but you're not. So
they're probably only making like 50 of them.
You're going to drive around and people are still going to be like, that's a really nice Mustang.
The last.
Oh, I get it. But the people who know, and that's who you're buying it for.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, no, I hate
it's just like, honestly.
That wing that's on the back of that Mustang. I've got a buddy of mine that's coming over tonight to build little fucking plastic men. He drives a fucking Genesis coupe that has that same wing on the back of it. And that's a Hyundai.
The easiest
so
way,
it's not a status symbol.
The easiest way to explain what I'm trying to say that we all can understand, right? It's like a Harley. And it's not. I'm not talking about the cost. I'm not talking about what Harley it is, right? You take your Harley and you clean the fuck out of it. You polish every fucking cunt hair on that bike. So you can go out and show it off to other dudes. So other dudes can be like, oh, that's a fucking clean looking bike you got there.
My Harley.
Right? That's the same reason you buy these cars that are over $150,000, $200,000. Anything that's over that, you're buying it for somebody else. You're not buying it for yourself.
My Harley is the gayest thing I own.
Yeah. Because the only thing you do to it is to get other dudes to be impressed with it. Another
dude looks at me and goes, damn, that's a nice bike. And it's like, it's the gayest thing I own. Yeah.
I think that $100,000, I'm taking it and I'm buying a really nice racing side-by-side and a boat.
I think you can get
or
one
another
or another
F-450.
Yeah, probably one of
these. You can only get one of any of those.
He said it's a toy.
It's a toy.
It'll be a mid level boat. Mm-hmm. It'll be a badass side by side, or it'll be a decent truck.
But I look at $100,000 and I look at like the Model A pickup truck. So the Model A, and I don't mean like it's just a Model A. The one that's like you have the body, it's been reframed, you put the crate engine in it, like
it's a retro mod. Custom,
the retro mod Model A pickup truck. And I've probably got 1,000 horsepower pushing to fat rubber in the rear. And honestly, at $100,000, I've probably got $40,000 left over to go on the power tour.
You might have to kick in another.
I don't know a lot about Model A's.
But some of those resto mods are running you $250,000.
Yeah.
If you pay somebody else to do it.
It's true.
Yeah.
But I think that's the different. But again, you're just in a status symbol.
Yep.
If you're going to spend $300,000, that's because you bought it because somebody else built it. And now you can say you have it.
Yeah.
I want. And I think that's the difference between car guys and guys that want to own cars so that other people go, damn, you have one.
Yeah.
If I'm going to build a Model A like that, like the pickup. I would do that. But I would turn, essentially, I could do it all except for the bodywork.
Right.
I'd have to pay to have the bodywork done.
Here's another question. how much money, how much cash would you have in order to justify buying a $300,000 Mustang?
I would need
$3 million in the bank.
No, more than that.
I would need $1 billion.
Yeah.
To buy a $300,000.
No, like in the last show, we talked about Musk and his interview. It would need to be the door, like I bought that GTD and didn't notice that I bought it.
No, I'd need $3 million sitting there that is just, it's sitting.
You spent 10% on a Mustang.
You had $3 million.
I love you, buddy. No, if you spent 10% of your income on a Mustang,
It is not my income. That is $3 million sitting in an account that I don't need touch.
I'm still shitting on you.
That's fine.
You spend 10% of your value on a Mustang?
Yeah,
because of all the cars in the world.
I'm a believer of quality over quantity. I might only have one vehicle.
It's a Mustang.
That's what you buy?
You weren't asking what car I'd buy if I had $3 million. You say, how much money do I need to have in order to buy that car?
The Mustang.
If that is the car that I decide I want to buy.
No, I'm still shitting on you.
That's fine.
I think you misunderstood the question. How much money would it take is sitting in your bank account for you to be like, you can justify spending $300,000 on a Mustang versus buying anything else?
There's no amount of money in the world.
To justify the Mustang.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm saying $1 billion. I would maybe buy that Mustang.
Right. You have $3 million in the bank account and you spend 10% of it on a Mustang. I'm shitting on your chest.
100%. I would let you.
You have $3 million in the bank account and you show up and be like, hey guys, I got a really good deal on this 458 that it was hand painted. I'm like, fucking dope. You spent it on a Mustang?
I thought you were just saying like...
No.
In John's defense, those were two drastically different questions.
They really were.
But Jeff understood.
I understood where you were
coming from. I did not, my bad.
That's what he said, $1 billion in the bank. And I go, I didn't even notice I spent the money.
Right.
I just have this car collection.
Because that's 3%.
And I go, this is the rarest Mustang ever made.
I'll buy one of those.
Yeah.
That's more money than me buying a Shelby.
It's true.
But it probably performs better.
I don't care.
For $200,000 more, but you can buy a Ford GT that you know is going to appreciate.
But it really comes down to, if we're talking status symbol, right? Because that's what you're buying. At $300,000 for a GTD, you're buying a status symbol. But
I'm saying that's not even a status symbol.
So you buy it.
You're going to get shit on by the people you're trying to
impress. For less money.
I got shit on saying that I'd buy it if I had $3 million. Yeah. Fuck, imagine if I actually had it.
Yeah.
You can buy a Shelby for less. And at least then you have a Shelby. This, like, yeah, I wanted one until I saw the price.
It's not a true Shelby.
No, I think the last Baird auction Shelby went for like $270,000.
No, Shelby still makes cars.
He's not alive.
No. I'm talking like a 67, 68 Shelby. I think the last Baird auction.
I thought you meant like a new Shelby.
No.
Because they still market new Shelby.
Yeah.
No. Not the bullshit. Whatever. We shot a commercial for a fucking Shelby. They're boring.
Not we.
That was a Shelby F-250.
Still Shelby.
It was. We did it for a GT350.
Yeah.
Mustang. Like a Mustang GT350. It was boring.
Yeah.
It was a boring car. The 67s, the old fastbacks.
Well, I would rather have a Shelby Cobra.
Oh, the ACR?
Yeah.
Yeah. But $300,000 on a GTD, I don't care. I've got $3 million in the bank. I bought this Shelby. You spent 10% of your net worth on a fucking Mustang?
I'm tracking now that we understood it.
You're an E4 all over again.
Yeah.
I
understand. But the way you worded it the first time, it was different.
No. Not did you spend $300,000 on a car?
It was if you spent $300,000 on a car, how much did you have in the bank? That's how I understood it.
No, if you spent...
You personally...
Yeah.
How much money would it take for you to buy that car?
That car? There's no amount of money in the world.
If I had $1 billion,
sure.
I may look at
that.
I'd go buy something. There are 10 other things that I want instead of that for $300,000.
For $1 billion, I would have all 10 of those other things.
Yeah, that's
I wouldn't at all.
If I have that much money, I have so many other cars in the collection that they release the rarest Mustang. Yeah. And I go, I'll take one.
Yeah.
And just so that when I go in my hangar that I have all of my cars in.
You're like, look at this Mustang. Yeah, it's pretty rare.
Do you want to see me spin stupid shit? Look at that. There's one right there. Right next to it is a car that's way fucking cooler. What is that? Oh, that's a Supra. That's $200,000. for a 94 Supra.
More stupid. It, like,
it's crazy. Scott, crazy.
Scott, you brought up the Ford GT. A 2023 Ford GT starts at $1.7 million.
That's on the secondary also, market. From Ford, also, you could buy it cheaper.
Fuck off. It says Ford.
But if you bought and a Ford everybody GT.
Everybody in this room drives a Ford. If you, and if I'm you, telling you right now, no. You spend $1.7 million on a Ford.
Here's, if you bought a Ford GT at any point in history.
You're retarded.
Here's the no, thing you've about, tripled your money.
You're retarded.
Here's the thing about
if you got it from Ford.
Yes.
Here's the thing about trying to buy a Ford GT from Ford. You don't get to tell Ford, I want to buy this car.
No.
Ford tells you if you get to buy John this Cena car did. Or not.
John Cena said, I'm buying one. And they were like, cool, you can have one. You're John Cena.
Yeah.
And he bought it and sold I'm it not, 2 weeks later.
I'm John Simon.
And then they tried
to I'm not John Cena.
And then they tried to sue him.
But again.
They did.
Yeah.
Money talks.
Yeah.
And that's why we're doing theoreticals.
Yep.
But
if I had $1 billion, like Scott said, if I had $1 billion in the bank, right, I'd probably have a car collection somewhere in the range of 75 to 100 million.
Yeah. 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 That's fair.
Yeah.
Yep. But and I would buy Ford GTs because every Ford GT in all of history, if you bought it directly from Ford.
They don't depreciate.
No, they've tripled and quadrupled in value in like 4 or 5 years.
It's the same thing. Dodge Vipers.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Some of those is depreciated.
Well, the shitty ones.
Yeah.
That's like buying a shitty Mustang. Well, same fucking thing.
You can buy a Viper now for like 30 grand.
You don't want it.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be okay. But... But the good Vipers, they appreciate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then you have to drive a fucking Dodge.
Fucking Dodges. I hate them.
I don't know. That I like Mike's Viper. I
that's what I mean.
I would
and, own the Viper. And he's going to make money on that no matter what.
Yeah.
It's not going to depreciate. Yeah. It's not going down.
But that was a pretty cool fucking kick-ass Viper.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the GT3.
Yeah.
You know what's wild is you can look at some of those Vipers. Like the really dope ones.
Yeah.
And they're 20 years old, 25 years old,
yeah.
With crazy low mileage. And they're fast as fuck. And they're some of the sexiest cars that's ever been designed. Yeah. And we're talking about the ones that were made in like 03, 04.
Well, those
like the hold their for Viper is the late model.
Those ones aren't as valuable as like the teens models.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do we call like, so when we talk, so when we talk about like the early 1900s, right? It's the 1900s, and then it's in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s.
It's the aughts.
It's like the 20 years before the 20s that is just the early 1900s.
So
is it the early 2000s?
Late 1900s.
The early 2000s.
Like 1994 would be the late 1900s.
No, I get that. But I'm talking about like 1900 to 1919. What do you call those years?
Those are the early 1900s.
Right. Then it's the 20s and 30s, 40s. So the early 2000s covers up till 2019.
Also known as the early millennium.
So we're in the 20s now?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then
I'm just trying to figure out the
first decade. The first decade of this millennium would be referred to as the aughts.
Yeah.
So it's aught one, aught two, aught three, aught four, aught five. So yeah, like an early 2000s Viper would be an aught series Viper. I'd love to own. So I still stand by the original Viper release in what, 93?
2003.
No, 93.
I think they came out in. Oh, they did come out in the 90s.
91.
There you go. So the early 90s Vipers, I still think are the best looking.
We're going to build this fiberglass car and put a V12 in it.
I still think it's the best.
V10.
It's a V10. I still think it's the best looking Viper. The wheels were awful, but the car the wheels were awful.
You know what they got to bring back? They need to bring back the Jaguar XJS V12.
Yep.
Pull that up. Put it on the screen.
It's not a great looking car.
It's a bananas motor.
It has a fucking V12 in it. Yeah. But it's a coupe.
But how many horsepower was it?
It's also a positive ground system, so it just didn't fucking work because the Brits decided that
the Jaguar
positive ground was a
SV V12?
XJS V12.
It's a four-door that you can't tell if it's coming or going because it's the same angle on each side. But the early 90s Viper was gorgeous. The later ones where it's wider and a little flatter, they all looked good, but the early 90s Viper looked bananas.
Look at that sexy beast.
Yeah, that's a pretty good look.
You're sitting on the rear axle because that V12's in front of you.
Look at that.
That is a big fucking hood for sure.
All hood. Well, it's British, so we have to call it a bonnet. It's a bonnet and a boot.
Do you know how much the Viper was when it first came out?
60 grand?
No, it was like 29,000.
52,000.
52 okay. grand.
Which, that was a fucking expensive back then.
Yeah, it was still a fucking...
I almost made a shitty PFC in the Army mistake on a vehicle, but it was the Viper truck, the 93.
There were some dope trucks back then.
Viper truck.
Yeah. Like the S10 Cyclone.
Yeah.
Which is an S10 that had the V8 in it.
Yeah.
Which they later tried to do with the S10 Extreme, which was a piece of shit.
So the XJS V12.
It produced 4 horsepower.
295.
So less horsepower than my current Explorer.
Yeah.
So and that's a V6.
Oh, I misspoke. And for the North America model, it's only 263.
Yeah, because of emissions.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Well, that's like the year that the Corvette came out with the 454 big block.
With like 180 horsepower?
No, it was 150. It was terrible. But it was in like the early 80s, right when they put in all those new emission laws for a 454. That's fucking crazy.
It's retarded.
They could have put in...
It was a 5.3 liter V12.
How many horsepower is your motorcycle engine?
I'm probably pushing right between 98 and 104 right now.
You're probably
114, 115.
Yeah. So they could have put in your motorcycle engine instead of a 454 yeah. big block and have the same performance. Yeah.
I think I'm at like 114, 115, 120 something. And
well, you got to think. Okay. So this V12, 5.3 liter V12, it had 263 horsepower. There's like the BMW 1000RR.
Yeah.
The new ones and the new like, what is it? The K, what's Kawasaki's fucking super bike?
The ZX14R.
No. They have their leader bike, but it's a, the K2.
The one that you can't buy.
Yeah. You have to have a racing license to have it. Those come stock with 300 horsepower.
So I got in this discussion at the bar the other day. This guy was in there and he knows I ride a Harley. And he was like, well, my friends ride sport bikes because they like to go 200 plus. And I was like, your friends don't go 200 plus. And he was like, fine. And I was like,
they're all governed at 186.
The bikes that go 200 plus, you can't fucking buy.
No, like you can modify. Okay, so that ZX14, when that first came out.
It was the fastest production motorcycle there
right,
was.
Right, but it was limited. Yep. All motorcycles in the United States are limited at 186. Right.
Which is a weird number.
Now,
so you had to go
how,
out and flashed and blah, blah,
how,
blah.
No,
blah, blah.
How they do that on like that ZX14 when it first came out, how they limited it at 186 is it had enough power to go faster. It had the driveline and the gear ratios to go faster, but aerodynamics,
yeah, wouldn't it hold couldn't. It down.
So if you look at those early ZX14s, they had these massive fucking mirrors yeah, and shit. Yeah. So if you cut those mirrors and you taped over a bunch of shit on the front of your bike, you had a 200 mile an hour bike.
But factory. Even now, these guys that ride sport bikes are like, I like to do 200. I'm like, but you don't have a bike that does it. Like there's like 7 bikes that do 200 plus and they're all limited. You can't buy them. Like you have to be licensed or you have to have owned a certain number of bikes and then or go in to, and prove you can ride it.
You got to build it.
Yeah.
Or you got to, but you can't go buy these bikes. That's like, well, that the top endless bikes is 207. I'm like,
well, it is, but sure. If it's a US production bike, it's governed at 186. It's
like, wait, why that number? Is 187 no,
you
can go, is
you
crazy.
Can buy them. So the CBR 1000RR.
Yeah.
Is like a 207 mile an hour bike. And it will go 207. The problem is you have to have owned like a certain number of CBRs. You have to have shown that you're track licensed. Like you have to show all of this shit to be able to buy that bike. The Aprilia, what's the Aprilia that has the 4 fucking ailerons on the front of it? And all that shit. It's like a 211 mile an hour bike.
But those Aprilias were fucking
But sexy. You can't buy them. Like you can't just walk into a dealer and buy that bike. You have to qualify to get the bike. And so anytime that any sport bike rider tells me that they're a 200 mile an hour rider, no, you're not.
You don't, one, you don't have the bike that can do it. And two, you don't have the fucking sack. You don't know what 200 mile an hour looks like. That you, the world is a blur. Oh, you may be able to see the line in front of you, and that's it. So you sitting in a Twin Peaks and telling me that you do 200 miles an hour on your fucking Ninja 600, you're full of shit. Mm. It, like, no, you don't. Mm. You don't fucking have it. Yeah. You're not the rider, and you don't have the bike. They're so fucking rare. I think the H2.
Yeah, the H2 is the one I was talking
about. The H2, I think, is 207. But you can't go buy that bike.
Well, like this 1000RR, right? So it actually, on the spec sheet, it doesn't say it. 215 horsepower. But
the horsepower is unreal. But the H2, you can't just walk in and buy an H2. Yeah. Like you can't do it. You can't buy the Aprilia. The Lightning S4R or whatever, I think is currently the fastest sport bike that you can, that's in production. It's track only. Only the teams can ride it. Like, you can't get your hands on it. So you're not a 200 mile an hour rider because you have a sport bike. I'm not saying that you're not faster than a Harley. You are. You're also twice the horsepower and half the weight.
Okay.
Like, I would fucking hope you're faster than my Harley. Like, it's not hard math.
So despite being blessed with some of the best production and racing bikes ever created, the growing concerns about safety and the rise in accidents marked the end of the era. Manufacturers formed a gentleman's agreement to limit all future sport bikes to a top speed of 186 miles
an hour. Which is 300 kbh.
Yep.
But which is really the number they picked because more sport bikes are sold in the European market than they are here. It's 300 kilometers an hour.
Yeah. Another article says, we say this because 300 kilometers an hour is still plenty fast for a production motorcycle. And it's anything but safe on public roads.
Yeah.
Which is 100% true.
And 99.9% of the riders that buy a bike that can do 186 will never see it.
No. Yeah. I hit 200 miles an hour once on a motorcycle. It was on a friend of mine's, and he had
it was
1000RR with a fuckload of work done to it.
Yeah.
And it was on a straight flat road.
Yep. And how long were you in sixth gear?
Oh, well, for a very long time, but
right.
But going from, it's going from,
it's
going
just
from
physics.
Going from cruising speed to
insane.
I hit 206, going from like cruising speed at 55, clicked down to second gear and just fucking all out until I fucking
hit the number. But that's what a lot of people
probably admit
is it's like, look, you're going to run through.
There's probably 3 miles.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
2.5, 3 miles.
So you're,
cause you get like, longer? Once you get up to like 180, then you 185, then you just creep. You're like 186.
Right.
187.
And that's what people don't understand.
188. It's not like it's like, whoa, bam, and then it stops.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a standstill to 206. You get up to really fast, really fast. And it's still really fast. Yeah. And then you have to crawl up to there. And you were in sixth for fucking ever. And that's not just a bike thing. When you look at the cars that'll do 220, 230.
They're running a two-mile track.
You're talking double a landing strip. And by the way, you can't do that if you have to turn at all.
Right.
You need dead straight and dead flat forever, which is also very, very rare. We live in San Antonio. We are at the base of the foothills.
Yeah.
There's nowhere in this city or near this city that you can hit those speeds. You have to get out like you're trying to drive to Amarillo.
Yeah.
And get out onto
those stretches
of the highways.
It was just straight and flat forever.
In Nebraska, I went fast.
Yeah.
But, you know, and it's like, look, if you want to tell me you do 150 on your bike on the regular, you're fast. You're dumb, but you're fast. Like, okay. Sure, you're faster than my Harley. Now, I didn't buy my Harley because I wanted to do 150.
Yeah.
Like, my Harley is plenty fast for what I want it to do. But it runs into all this. Like, 150 miles an hour is fast. You're still an idiot. And you're also doing it out there in fucking jean shorts and flip-flops because you're a fucking moron. Like, you're not equipped for this shit.
Yeah.
I don't see anybody on sport bikes actually equipped for it. And then I see adventure bike riders that are in it like they're fjording river.
I'm like,
what the fuck are you doing?
When I lived in Europe, like, there were guys that would ride like 5 miles from their house to their place of
business.
Full fucking leathers.
Yeah.
And I'm like they'd undo, like take their leathers off and they'd be like in a suit. And I'm like, dude, what the fuck? Like, it like, oh, you know, in case I go down. And I'm like, you rode 4 miles.
Yes. I respect it. The whole
like, you didn't even go faster than the speed limit, dude.
You know, you ride for the slide, you know, dress for the slide, not for the ride, yeah. All that kind of stuff. And it's like, still. But on the car note, like, I'm not going to lie. There's not a lot out there. The C8 is really the only thing that gets me excited.
I like the C8.
But everything else, meh.
I mean, imagine if Chevelle would have been around till today. It'd probably look pretty fucking good.
Or it'd look absolutely horrendous.
No, true. Yeah, they'd have ruined it. Look what they did to Monte Carlo.
They wouldn't have survived the 90s.
Oh, I know. The Monte Carlo. They literally, like the Monte Carlo, they're like, yeah, okay, we're just going to get rid of this.
God, look what they did to the Mustang till about 5 years ago.
They're the Mustang Mach-E. Like, no.
Oh, yeah, now the Mustang's an SUV.
Yeah.
In all fairness, you can buy a Ferrari and a Lambo SUV at this point. So
I'd rather have that Mustang SUV over one of those, though.
For the price, yeah.
Hey, for less than the GTD, you can buy an Urus. But yeah, there's just, as far as what to bring back, I don't know, the executives with balls. I guess that's the first thing we need to bring back for the car manufacturing industry. Because everything else is...
Yeah, it's kind of trash.
Boring. I am excited about the motorcycle world. There's some cool shit going. What Harley's doing right now, the new Sportster is bananas.
Yeah.
Really?
It weighs like nothing. It's the fastest production Harley they've ever produced.
Huh.
Like it's...
I am so excited for that Buell Super Cruiser.
That's going to kill so many people.
Oh, I fucking... Like... It has stopped me from looking at other motorcycles.
It's gonna kill so many people. And it's
185 horsepower, 395 pounds.
Yeah. Mm. And it's not set up for that power.
Oh, it is.
It's just not built. Yeah, it is. No, it's not. Yes, that riding position is all wrong for that level of power. At all. It's gonna kill so many people.
I can't fucking wait.
It's so much experienced riders, guys that know what they're doing on the bike and can respect the power. They're going to be able to do amazing things.
Now, here, the reason that Buell, in my mind, the reason that Buell did that bike is because... Because
Eric Buell was insane?
Nope. Because Harley got rid of the Dyna, right? So everybody built this Dyna for speed because it was the lightest frame with the most horsepower engine. So they'd soup it up, they'd modify the suspension, and they'd literally go try to fucking race this thing around. And then performance baggers came around because you can get better performance and better handling out of it than you can a Dyna.
And I can ride it 1,000 miles.
But Harley, not a performance bagger. Like a full-blown. So when Buell did their relaunch, they took essentially their frame and engine, and they made a whole bunch of different models off of it, right? They had the sport bikes. They had their adventure touring, which are like the enduro style bikes. And then they did their super cruiser, which still has a sport bike suspension and frame. It just looks like a cruiser. They changed the peg positions. They changed the handlebars. They put a small fairing on it instead of a fucking.
Eric Buell is also insane.
Oh, I used to have a Buell. I love it.
This is the guy that made the S1 Lightning.
Yeah.
So the S1 Lightning was the largest V-twin you could get your hands on. And he built a frame around it with no front downpipe. Literally, the front cylinder and part of the primary was
Every import bike, every sport bike is the same way.
Sure, but they're not a V-twin.
That's fine. It's still a solid frame.
I'm not shitting on it. I'm just saying Eric Buell is fucking insane.
But also what he did on those early Buells.
Like stage 3 Lightnings are death machines.
Your frame was your gas tank and your rear swing arm was your oil
reservoir.
So your center of gravity was immediately... like inches lower than any other bike on the market.
Until you launched it, in which case all the fluid shifted to one part of the bike, in which
I never had a center of balance
isn't there anymore. But Eric Buell's insane. But that's what, honestly, it's what pushes shit forward. Like the new bikes that are coming out, the liquid cooled, Justin Harley, the new bike that's coming from them. All these liquid-cooled V-twins that are 117 cubic inch displacement, more power than we've ever seen, all of the shit, is because guys like Eric Buell go out and make shit like that new cruiser. And it's because guys like that push the envelope. Manufacturers look at it and go, well, son of a bitch, we can't let this little guy go and steal all this market. So we need to make shit. We need to make shit like that CVOR. We need to make all of these fucking bonkers bikes because people want insanity from the dealer and they're willing to pay for it.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying is that I'm not shitting on Eric Buell for being insane because it's a bad thing. It's a good thing, but it's a good thing for the industry as a fucking whole.
Right.
And that's what car industries need to get back to. You need to make something that's attainable, that's fucking nuts, because you make everybody else react.
Yeah.
You make people want to buy it. Cars are fucking boring. My car is incredibly reliable and very comfortable. It's boring as shit.
Yeah.
It's not fun to drive. Your F450 is not fun to drive. It's comfortable. It has a lot of toys. It's not fun to drive. Your King Ranch isn't fun to drive. It's comfortable and shit.
I enjoy it.
But it's comfortable. It's not. It doesn't.
I drive my 250 like a Ford Ranger.
But it doesn't incite anything. Like you get in it. It's like, it's going to start every time. It's going to do it. It has the power when I need it. If not, I can set the cruise control at 90. It doesn't care. It just does its thing and fucking cruises down the highway. Nobody's making anything that's fucking exciting. That's attainable anymore.
That's attainable. That's the key.
And that's the thing is like, yes, there are car companies making exciting things. There's bike companies making exciting things. They're not attainable.
Yeah.
If you want to actually shake the industry, don't make it for such a small percentage of your client base that they can't get their hands on it.
Well, so, as much as you shit on Dodge, that's the one thing they kind of did is they took the...
But it's not attainable. How much is a Demon?
Well, yeah, but you don't need a Demon.
How much is a Hellcat?
You can get a Challenger and they're fairly
attainable. They're a boat.
But it's...
There's no power for how much that thing fucking weighs.
It's still attainable for...
But that doesn't count. So you have a slow ass car?
It's not that slow.
It's slow.
Which one?
Any of them. Anything other than that has the fucking some sort of emblem on the side of it. They're slow as fuck.
Like the 392 Challenger.
Still slow as fuck.
Compared to what? What are you comparing it to?
Anything? They're slow. You built a muscle car that's not fast.
I don't know.
Like, what I mean by exciting is I should feel like I'm going to lose control of this vehicle if I don't respect it. And they don't do that.
Have you not seen any videos from Houston?
So that Dodge Challenger SRT 392 does quarter mile 12.6 seconds.
That's respectable.
How much is it?
0 to 60 in 4.2.
How much is it?
Oh, I don't fucking know. They don't make them anymore.
Well, they're probably 60. Boom.
Yeah. So it's not attainable. This is not what I mean by attainable is I'm not talking about, you know, those that are in their middle age that are now trying to go recreate their high school days.
Yeah.
I mean attainable because that's what actually pushes it forward. You get older, you buy cars less.
Okay. MSRP for 2016 Dodge Challenger SRT 392 starts at $50,195.
Starts at $51,000.
In 2016.
In 2016, it started at $51,000.
Today, if you want to buy the last year that they made Challengers, it's $150,000 markup on top of the $100,000+ car.
So that's attainable? The $200,000 SRT 392 is attainable?
But it's the last year, so they're fucking gouging. Well,
but I don't know. What are you saying? A $30,000 car that'll perform like that?
Yes. Because that used to be a thing. There used to be a thing where you could get that level of power. Mustangs, Camaros, all those used to be the whole like, I bought a fast car for no money.
That's true.
Yeah. And they're not anymore. Now, if you want a fast version, they're 70 or 80 or 90,000.
Because manufacturers realize that just because it's fast, they can upcharge. But what we considered fast as a youth. Oh, God. I had an 88 Ford Bronco.
Your motherfucker is just as fast as that.
I thought it was fast because I could beat half my buddy's piece of shit vehicles.
Yeah. Like, the standard of fast has shifted way.
And then if I really wanted to win, this was like in 98. My stepfather got a 96 Jeep Cherokee 5-speed, right? So it was only 2 years old. And all my buddies had early 90s, late 80s vehicles. So I could take that 96 Jeep and beat every other fucking vehicle that any of my friends had.
Just because the engine was younger.
Yeah, so there's a 4-liter with a 5-speed.
Yeah.
That's it. And that's the only reason.
Our definition of fast when we were young was not fast.
There's just so much.
No, it's just beating somebody else. Yeah. It didn't matter.
But there's just so much in the cars now that take all the excitement out of any of it anyways.
Now fast is subjective. Like my truck's fast until it hits the governor at 96.
Right.
You know what I mean? So what is fast? Like, I can go 0 to 60 pretty fucking quick. Well, but look, I'm not a race car.
But these, it, a lot of it has to do with a lot of the technology that's put in now. Like, a lot of these new cars, it doesn't really matter what you buy nowadays. It'll let you know if you're trying to change the lane without turning a blinker on.
Yeah.
It's just, there's not that edge of control. It doesn't exist anymore. And so the only option to that is power. And the power is not there because we've gotten rid of, you don't change gears. It's just that belt that drives up fucking gears and comes back down. Like, it doesn't shift. Yeah. You don't feel anything. Like, we've taken all the excitement out of this interaction with a vehicle.
I'll give you that.
Yeah. And so, sure. Like, I drive an Explorer now. That Explorer, by the definition of what we thought was fast, it's way faster.
Yeah.
You know, I push like 6 buttons and it changes all the bullshit in my car. It's fast.
Yeah.
You don't feel any of it.
Yeah.
There's no excitement to driving. And that's what I mean by, like, nobody builds anything exciting anymore until you want to spend $100,000 and then you can feel the excitement. And it's like, bro, you can't spend, that is more than the average income of an American.
Yeah.
To get a car that is exciting at all. That's not attainable.
Yeah.
Like, that's, that reserves it.
You
for
just
the
gotta buy an
that
old
go
car
buy a
then.
Toy.
Buy a slow old car and it'll be exciting.
Even the old ones are not cheap anymore.
No, yeah. We just looked at Supras that are $200,000.
Well, just, I mean, you look at old muscle cars. No, you can get a cheap one, but you're literally, whatever you touch, you're putting your arm or foot or hand through it.
Yeah.
It's so rusted out.
Buddy of mine.
And a good one is going to cost what a fucking new one costs.
A buddy of mine has a beautiful mint condition Camaro sitting in his garage. Hasn't run in 2 years. It's just sitting there. He's like, it needs rubber and battery. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, you know, and I'm like, but he has like a Volkswagen SUV and a Hyundai. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm going to tell you right now, you own 2 fucking soccer mom vehicles. I don't know why. this is insane. And that thing sits in the garage and hasn't moved.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's still out there. It's just like we talked about. Like, the new Cadillac SUV has a 51-inch screen in it. Goes all the way across the dash. But you know what? Guys like Scott, that's exactly what they're looking at. It's like, well, it's got 500 horsepower. I don't feel shit, and it drives it for me.
But
I can watch Netflix. And it's like, you don't actually care about the automotive experience anymore.
It's like, the creature comforts.
What you want is light rail. You want the ability to sit in a thing and it's just going to take you from A to B and you're not involved. Well, it's just, you think.
As an adult in life today, like, that's a little bit what I'm looking for. If I had a toy, I would want the excitement.
But people are buying these as daily drivers. And then they're like, well, it's got this horsepower and this. And it's like, but you're not driving it. You're sitting in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
But you're not driving it. It's like I've got a really good friend that's a pilot that will flat out tell you, we don't need pilots. The planes fly themselves. But you're not comfortable with the fact that there's not a pilot in the cockpit.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you are to your vehicle. Like, you are nothing more than just, you are a meat sack that it needs for the input. And that's it. Your car does everything else. So, these guys that are buying these things, we have a really good friend that drives a quote unquote muscle car that does more driving for him than he does. And he spent obscene amounts of money on that car. And it's slow compared to everything else. He drives a slow car.
What car is that?
The fucking Challenger he's got.
Oh, okay.
Compared to the other options, it's the slowest one he could have gotten. There's faster cars out there for the same amount of money.
Yeah, you could have got a Ford Lightning.
That thing is insane. But you feel that. I never want to drive that fucking thing again.
All right, let's wrap this up.
Well, I'll cheers you, but I'm empty.
Here. Take a little swig of that. I don't even have enough to share with you.
Perfect.
All right.
So anyways, drive fast, take chances. We'll see you guys next time.